Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, February 27th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution on page 21. The second full paragraph, beginning with the eighth sentence. So we're going to begin right in the middle of that paragraph on the eighth sentence, beginning with, he has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment. Through 11 sentences, ending with, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. And we're going to read and comment on these 11 sentences this morning. Today's readers are Mary Frances W., reading the 12 steps. Claudia C. will be reading the 12 traditions. Debbie W. is reading the text. Dion R. will read page 164. And Janice P.M. is our faithful backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M. And announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, February 26, 2026, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,244 or 23244. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,245 or 23245. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. Mary Frances W. here from Pennsylvania, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. I will now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Morning, Claudia.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. I'm Claudia C., compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, in loving God as He may express Himself and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain person anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you so much for letting me serve, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Claudia C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution on page 21. We're in the second paragraph. We're going to begin at the 8th sentence. He has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment. Through 11 sentences, ending with, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. And we're going to read and comment on these 11 sentences this morning. I will now ask Debbie W. to please begin reading. Hey, Debbie.
Good morning. This is Debbie W., now officially living in Oregon, not California. Thank you for letting me be of service. He has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept. He is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor. But in the respect, he is incredibly dishonest and selfish. He often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career ahead of him. He uses his gifts to build up a bright outlook for his family and himself, and then pulls the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees. He is the fellow who goes to bed so intoxicated he ought to sleep the clock around. Yet early next morning, he searches madly for the bottle he misplaced the night before. If he can afford it, he may have liquor concealed all around his house to be certain no one gets his entire supply away from him to throw down the waste pipe. As matters grow worse, he begins to use a combination of high-powered sedatives and liquor to quiet his nerves so he can go to work. Then comes the day when he simply cannot make it and gets drunk all over again. Perhaps he goes to a doctor who gives him morphine or some sedatives with which to taper off. Then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. Well, reading this, I'll share a little bit. Reading this, of course, I'm not that bad. I've never been that bad. But, you know, if you look at what I have done, and talking about hiding things, I can still remember so clearly when my girls were young, having this big, huge thing of candy, and I put it where the pots and pans go because, well, who would look for it in there? So, yes, I'm just as bad as he is, but with food and not alcohol. But I'm so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for the steps, the program, my God, you guys. It's just the best place to be. It's the best place. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, WW. Thanks for getting us started. We're now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I'll remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know. Excuse me. Please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Christina J., Washington.
Got you, Christina.
Julie B., Oregon.
Got you, Julie.
Mary Frances W.,
yes,
Pennsylvania.
I heard a Mary.
Mary Frances W., Pennsylvania.
W., Pennsylvania. Got you.
Nancy L. J., California.
Got you, Nancy L. J. I heard a male voice in there. Didn't get it.
Jeff A., California.
Got you, Jeff. And anyone else want to share?
Nancy L., Arizona.
Got you, Nancy. It's a rich paragraph, lots there. Well, let me repeat back who I've got. I've got Christina J., Julie B., Mary Frances W., Nancy L. J., Jeff A., and Nancy L. Did I miss anyone?
Dion R.
Got you, Dion. And Dion, where are you calling from?
Eileen M.
Dion,
from
where are you
Georgia.
Calling from?
From
that's
Georgia.
Right, Georgia. And I've got you, Eileen, and where are you calling from? Massachusetts? New Hampshire, right?
New Hampshire, yeah, thanks.
Okay, got you. Okay, I think that's a good starting lineup. So again, I've got Christina J., Julie B., Mary Frances W., Nancy L. J., Jeff A., Nancy L., Dion R., and Eileen M. We're going to start with Christina J., followed by Julie B. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington. You know, one of the reasons I'm sharing today, I didn't want to share, is because I feel down and depressed. It's one of those human things that comes along. It's born out of fear. Today I have the program, and today I'm going to share a little experience, strength, and hope because it'll help me to get back. This positive genius for getting tight exactly the wrong moment, I like to call that a because it overtakes me. I've got to get something. I'm unhappy. I'm in fear. Today I'm sharing because I've got to get something. I got to give service. That's what I got to get. I got to get the joy from giving service today. Otherwise, I'll have that desperate demonic genius talking to me. How about a little food to feel better? How about going off your food plan? So that anyway, I was as bad as this guy. I took a trip to Seattle once. It was a big trip way back in the day for me. I was just starting out my independent music career, and I had a big interview with a big independent magazine in Seattle. And I got here, and I drove and drove and drove, and I went right to my hotel with bags and boxes, and I never made the appointment. Never made the appointment. I feigned sickness. And one time, years after that, I had a very important show in the California area, really important. And I had this desire to eat. I was nervous. I was uncomfortable. The road is not a great place. Many of you might think it is, but it's hard to be a musician on the road. And I was looking through the cupboards, and I thought I was trying to be abstinent, but that day I was looking through the cupboards in the freezer, and I found some brownies in the freezer, and I proceeded to eat 10 of them, not knowing they were pot brownies. Now, I don't smoke pot. I haven't smoked pot since I was like 18. I'm 67. And I started feeling it come on, and I was like, oh, my effing God. So I was sick. I started making myself throw up. I was jumping up and down trying to get the stuff out of my system. I had to cancel that really important show, and I had to lie. I've been as bad as this guy. I've had senseless series of sprees. I had a promising career. I was searching madly for the food every time. I mean, after the show, the next morning, I promised myself after I didn't make the show, I wouldn't do this ever again. I went right to the food. I'm an addict. I'm a junkie with food. I'm a hardcore street junkie with food. And I have this program that has saved me. I've gotten drunk over and over and over again on food. Today, I don't have to do that because of this program. If you're out there and you want something that's going to help heal you, and it's a long journey. It's not an easy one and done. We just keep going. We keep trudging through the ups, the downs, the ins and outs. I've had a lot of relapses, and I have to tell you, I'm grateful for all those. I don't want to go back, and I don't have the lie in my head anymore that I can get back, which I had for a long time. Someone spoke about that recently. And I've used, as it says in the end, lots of things to try to get high.
Christine, that's time.
When I would have the, you know, go down from the food, I would use coffee to come back up. So it's an endless demonic cycle, and I pray that all of you can get out of it. Stay with this program, and you'll make it. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Next, we've got Julie B., followed by Mary Frances W. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie B. from Oregon. I've been gone for a while, and it's so good to be back. My 87-year-old father is in hospice, and I recently flew to Cleveland, from Oregon to Cleveland, snow hell, to visit my dad, and he's dying, and he's always had what's called like a sweet tooth, you know, that's what it was called, like, oh, he has a sweet tooth, and I kind of had to laugh a little bit while I was there, because every cupboard I opened up had bags of candy everywhere, and the peanut butter has sugar in it, and it was so hard for me to figure out what to eat because every single food item in this house had sugar in it, and it was really a challenge. But it's funny because I get home, and what do I find? I have sugar-free cough drops in a stash, sugar-free caramel creamer in a stash. Like, I'm still stashing my just-in-case emergency things. They're sugar-free, but it's almost like this psychological need to know that they're there, and I think it would be healthier if I just tossed them all. I think a better stash for me would be a big book in my purse, 10-step forms tucked here and there, phone numbers taped to my fridge. That's the kind of backup plan I need, not sugar-free garbage to put into my body. And I'm struggling with my dad's situation, and I'm so happy to be back here. And just hearing everybody's voices here, you guys make me feel so much better and ready to really get back into my program. And thank you for all the great shares. And Debbie, welcome to Oregon. I just have to say that. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Julie B. from Oregon. Next, we've got Mary Frances W., followed by Nancy L. J. Good morning, Mary Frances.
Hello, hello.
Do we have Mary Frances W.? Need to hit star one to unmute, please.
I thought I was. Sorry about that. Good morning.
Okay.
Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And this second half and the first half of this paragraph, really, if it didn't before, it really strikes me now. And yesterday I was in the car and I couldn't share, I was driving, but I heard a number of people share about how they weren't present or didn't show up for weddings or other important events. And I could really identify with that. And today I'm looking at, he often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes and has a promising career ahead of him. And I, you know, after college, I had my career. I worked for 17 years and a profession that I loved. And then I got married and we had a child, and I had always wanted to be a wife and a mother, which I consider a career. And we made it work so that I could stay home with my child. And the biggest part I can remember of raising both of my children, because I had a second child, was not being present, was being in the food, was, although I had not seen this before, incredibly dishonest and selfish. It was all about me, getting my food, eating my food, doing what, like the bare minimum of what I needed to do to take care of my kids, and as they got older, you know, participating in their events and all. But in addition to them, I had a husband who was so kind to me, that didn't, you know, put me down or say mean things to me about this cycle of up and down and all around. And there were many events that I didn't go to with him because of my selfishness, because I didn't feel good enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't thin enough. And he never, ever put me down for staying away. But that's what this disease does to us. It keeps us in ourselves and doesn't allow us to be there for other people. And I'm seeing this more and more as I came back in November and I'm working the steps. And I'm just so grateful that even though it's painful, that I'm getting to the root. And it's a place where I need to be. And I'm just so grateful for those of you on the line who have been here loving me and supporting me. And also for my Lord, who, if I invite him, he's there. He's not going to intrude on my life.
Mary Frances,
but if I invite him, he's there. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Next, we've got Nancy L.J., followed by Jeff A. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you so much. My time to check in here and claim my feet. And as usual, great reading. And just demonstrates, this demonstrates the madness of this addiction. And for me, it just brings up all the lies, you know, just living a life of lies. What is a particular sore spot for me is with my, you know, lying to my daughter. She'd invite me over to dinner with her family, and I would make up a lie because she had, you know, usually would be like very, you know, a plate each, no seconds. And, you know, for me, I'd be thinking about seconds before I even started on first, you know, and I would feel very uncomfortable at her home. So I would say, oh gosh, sorry, I have to work, or you know, whatever. And I mean, that's just a piece of it. But my whole life was like that, just lies. And And even, you know, and it's still, it can be my default. I mean, even in a recovered grace by God's grace today, a couple days ago, I got called by a charge if I could come in and do an extra 6 hours or something. And I said, oh, no, I won't be able to do that. Instead of landing it with a period, I made up an excuse, which was completely unnecessary. It was just out of the blue. I lied for no other than people pleasing, you know. So, and it was very uncomfortable. I actually manned up and apologized. It was awkward as hell, but you know what? I had to do it because I can't tolerate that. That can't be tolerated. And, you know, anyway, I'm just super grateful today, and I'm really grateful it's Friday. Even though I have to work this weekend, I still love Fridays. And I get to go and meet my little 9-year-old grandson at a school they're having a school picnic. I get to show up for that for him, and I'm super grateful for this program in my life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy LJ in California. Next, we've got Jeff A, followed by Nancy L. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, how are you? My experience, I was in OA, and the sponsor went back out there, and I needed to find another sponsor. And I heard this guy, and he scared me. It was called sober eating, and he said, you don't do your alcoholic foods no matter what. Otherwise, you're starting over, and if you have a sponsee, you got to let them go too. And I was like, yikes. But what happened to me is I decided I would, between sponsors, I could figure this out myself. And I love candy bars, and I knew that I shouldn't be eating those, but I did. And I told myself one day that I would have 7 candy bars, but one at a time, one each day. And within a couple of hours, I'd eaten them all. And then later on, it's like, I gotta have them. So in the middle of the night, I'm going to a convenience store that's 24-hour. And so I'm only gonna do a few. And then I ate all of that next day early, and the brain still thinks that this is going to work. Then I ended up calling that guy, and things have been much different. But you know, the idea that I can handle this has to be smashed. It just isn't going to work for me. And I ended up going to Vision. And I was like, well, wait a minute. In my phone plan, there's money involved. It's basically $203 a week based upon my phone plan. And I thought, well, we shouldn't be paying any, you know. And I was like, what am I doing? I have done so much candy bars in my life. And what is $3 a week? For an hour? No. So I do a lot of Vision for You. Now I realize there's ones earlier on in the day at 4 in the morning if I can't sleep. So it's just been it's very helpful. This is a strict program, and because I just will find a way otherwise. So anyways, that's it.
Alrighty, thank you so much, Jeff A. from California. And before we go to the next person, let me remind everybody where we're at. We are in the big book, in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 21. We started in that second full paragraph beginning at sentence number 8, which is, he has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment. We read 11 sentences ending with, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. And we read those 8 sentences and we are commenting. Oh, I'm sorry, we read those 11 sentences and we are commenting on them this morning. And please make sure to let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from when you share so that people can find you on the member list. So next up, we've got Nancy L. followed by Dion R. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, for your service this morning and everyone putting the meeting together. This is Nancy L., recovered in Arizona, 100-pounder, and welcome newcomers. Well, the two words that popped out to me was that wrong moment. I have had a lot of wrong moments. I spent many, many years in the paying ways. That's just what I did. And, you know, it was kind of a strange situation. Saturday morning was my morning to get up and go down to the pay and weigh. I would pay my money, get on the scale, go, you know, listen to the meeting and then go home. And year after year, week after week, month after month, this was how it played out. I would go home after the weigh in. A lot of people would say, oh, that's when you can really eat a bunch, you know, because you have a whole week to, excuse me, to before weigh-in. But I didn't. Most of the time, I was squeaky clean with my food all Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then on Friday night, before weigh-in, I wasn't thinking about weigh-in. I was just thinking about, got to have something. I got to have something. It's like I was just white-knuckling it so long, I could not stand it. So Friday night, I would just have my binge. Wake up in the morning, go down to the weigh-in pay, pay my money, get on the scale, and have a gain. And this went on over and over and over. And I used to think to myself, I must be crazy. Why would anyone in their right mind do what I am doing? Why? So anyway, long story short, very, very grateful that I found OA. And I think one of the best things I found about it, beside the weight loss, which was great, but I found that I do have a mental twist when it comes to certain foods. I absolutely do. And I will probably have it till my dying day. So do I stay away from those things on my power? Absolutely not. I have to have a power much, much greater than me that will see me through my days absently and dependent on the fact that I'm staying spiritually fit. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. Next, you've got Dion R. followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Dion.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Oh, this sounds like a real Mrs. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yes, it does sound like how I was in my last days of binging. And I did a lot of things everybody described and probably more. And it reminds me of how miserable I was and how powerless I was and how I felt so defenseless at times. And especially when I'm planning, I'm going to put my nice clothes out. I'm going to church the next day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I went to bed so full of indigestion and everything else. I didn't make it to church or I had excuse for not going. So yeah, a lot of this is the effect of what happened and causes me to be a compulsive overeater. It is not because of it was between my ears. But these are all the effects, the different things that I went from one extreme to the other, and I can go on and on and on like most people, but you know, the very beautiful descriptions they gave. And I can relate to almost all of them, too. That was me, too. But the main thing is for me to realize that was alcoholism, I mean, compulsive eating. I know in the book it talks about alcoholism. This is what this part is, but the real problem is still between my ears. And it still can be today if I let something else get in the way of my usefulness to my higher power and others. So I just got to stay in the middle. But, yeah, hospital, sanitarium, been there, done that, don't want to do it again. So I'm sticking with the program, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Dion R. from Georgia. Next, we've got Eileen M. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. I'm going to share on the first line, thinking about compulsive overeating at the wrong moment, without intending to, without wanting to, you just start doing it, So, they're describing in this paragraph the state of being sober and then picking up a drink, which, basically is self-sabotage, and why do we do that? I was looking up the word addiction in the dictionary, and it means engaging in repetitive behavior that is harmful without wanting to, so we don't want to do this, but yet we do it. And why do we do that? And the book is so thorough about explaining, craving and what is craving. And I just wanted to relate an incident that I was thinking about, having a memory about while people were talking. I had this incident 10 years ago. Around this time of year, actually. I remember I was dating this guy, and he invited me to go to a concert that evening, and it was early morning, and I was very excited about going to this concert with this particular guy. It was like early in the relationship, and he said to me, I work with these guys, and they're in this band, and we really want to have you here. And I thought, I was so excited, and I was so grateful to be invited, and I woke up that morning, I said, I'm going to be abstinent all day. And I promised myself I would be abstinent so I could go out that night and have fun. And so when lunchtime came around, this is back in the days when I was white-knuckling, abstinent, had not found the solution yet. And I just binged at lunchtime. I had like 3 or 4 lunches. By 6 p.m., we're supposed to go out. This guy's coming to my house at 6 p.m., and I was just like so sick. I felt so sick. And, we get to the restaurant, and we're sitting in this group of people, and one of them says to me, "Oh, so why aren't you eating with us?" I'm like, "I'm not hungry," And I just remember feeling such shame. It was like I had, it was written on my forehead that I had binged all day, and I just, oh my God, I just remember how awful I felt. And that incident, that was one of the catalysts that actually got me to my bottom, and I found Vision for You shortly after that. And by that time, I was done. My sponsor said to me, "Are you done?" And I said, "Yes." And, it's really the grace of God. I have been abstinent since then. How did I get there? It's like because I made a decision to recover, and then I followed it up by action. It was not a resolution, because resolutions are like fantasy, but decisions are followed up by action. So that's what I did, and I just keep doing it every day. I keep applying the steps to my life. Because, I had that same problem they're describing in this paragraph, that abstinence was intolerable. Thank you. Abstinence for me was intolerable without the application of the steps. So thanks so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire.
Can you please tell me where we are in the book?
Absolutely. We are on, and there is a solution on page 21. Second full paragraph, beginning with the 8th sentence. He has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment.
Okay, I can't find 11. Where the 8th sentence is.
Okay, well, you'll have to count. I'm so sorry, but we do need to move on and get names for sharing. But it's the 8th sentence from the top of the paragraph, and then it ends with, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and would like to share today, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Jim Haleo, New Jersey.
From Florida.
Oh, everyone jumped on top of each other.
Kelly L, New Jersey.
Was that Kelly L from? Kelly O from New Jersey.
Thank you.
Okay.
New York. Kelly J from Florida.
Was that a Kelly J from Florida?
Shelly with an L.
Shelly. Sorry, Shelly.
Okay,
you. And I heard a male voice in there.
Tom L., California.
Tom L. from California. I think
Marion H. from Marion H. from Florida.
Okay, Marion, and I think we'll stop there because I'm not sure we'll have enough time. So we'll see what we do, what we got. So I've got Kelly O., Shelly J., Tom L., and Marion H. So Kelly, you're up first, followed by Shelly. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, sorry. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, this is Kaylee O. with the state from New Jersey. I just wanted to get on here and share. It's been a little while. I've just been listening for a while and really enjoying all the shares. Thanks for, a vision service and everybody, making this meeting possible. This part really jumped out at me because I've been working, I'm working on my step 10 and then moving on to step 11 with a vision sponsor. And I almost totally have this sense of it's like this built-in forgetter. And then when I hear the word hospitals and sanitariums, I'm like, holy crap. Like my experience, I would say probably it feels like it was years ago, but to me I ended up in a rehab for my eating disorder. And I manifested it. It looked like anorexia at the time, my compulsive overeating. And, I ended up in a crisis center, before they admitted me in, and I had all of these medical issues, and I had no idea it was this. I had no idea. I felt like I'm anorexic. This is my problem. How I was feeling was I just knew at my core, I could not eat normally. And I was just sick of being like that. So my answer was okay, I'm just not going to eat. I'm not just not going to eat because I can't eat. I didn't have a healthy, I didn't have this relationship with my higher power, guiding me, obviously, at that time. But, I think intuitively I knew I couldn't eat normally, but I didn't know that there was another solution at the time. So I went to a rehab for, I think it was 60 days. I was in a rehab and, they got my health problems taken care of. Luckily, it was able to just go back. I was on all these medications and I was eating and they were just trying to teach me how to eat normally. This is, with nutritionists, this is how you eat this food. And so I ended up getting to the insurance. They gave me the boot and I went home and I was in an IOP and I went right back into the food, just in the opposite direction. I was at a healthy weight, but it wasn't my time. And I knew I hit out in another 12-step program. And I remember writing in my step work in that other 12-step program, I gotta get this taken care of. This is not listed. I don't care how many inventories I write about it. It's not listed. There's something missing in my program. Thank you. Hospitals and sanitariums, it's wild. I'm just really grateful to have, a sponsor and be working these steps. And I just really, I thank everybody with their messages here. Thanks.
And thank you so much, Kaleo from New Jersey. Next, we've got Shelly J, followed by Tom L. Good morning, Shelly.
Good morning, everybody. This is Shelly J from Florida and Germany, currently in Florida. And these sentences really brought me back in time. The sentence I want to focus on is, he often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes and has a promising career ahead of him. And this brings me back to age 25 when I lived in Florida. And I had worked for a company for a while and then transferred to another company. And I was given a job that really I had no business being in. I was on the road. I worked out of my home. I had no accountability. I really, it was probably the worst thing that I could have had, but it was what I desired and what I felt that I could do. I did have the gifts and the abilities. And it says here he often possesses these gifts and abilities. And I love the word possesses because that shows me that the gifts and abilities that I had didn't come from me. I possessed them. They were a gift from my God. But even though I had all of these abilities and these skills that God had given me, I was eating compulsively. I was newly in a marriage with a husband that was 13 years older than I, very mature, and I was very immature. Even though I outwardly possessed the ability to look very together, like, you know, I knew what I was doing, I looked mature, but inside I was really a scared little girl. Didn't know how to handle problems, and the way that I handled problems was by eating, was by excess food. So here I am, I've got this promising career, not many women doing this job, mostly men, and I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm excited, but I'm also eating. And I had a company car, an expense account, you name it. And what was I doing? I was working at home in my little home office, and I would have something sweet out in the kitchen, and I would say, I'm just going to have a little piece. So I'd go out and I'd take a sliver. Then I'd go walk back to my office with my coffee, and I'd eat that. And then a half hour later, I think I'll have another little sliver. Well, by the end of the probably couple of hours, that whole thing was gone. I slivered it to death. When I was driving around in my company car, if I hit the brakes really hard, out from underneath my seat would roll out Dunkin' Donuts, coffee cups, and also bags that were full of stuff. It was really a nightmare for me. I felt like I was always striving and running ahead to keep up and always falling behind, lying, not able to make early morning appointments, sleeping in because I had a belly full of food.
Shelley, that's fine. Like,
thank you. So I just want to say what a gift to be in a program now where I don't have to live that kind of life. There's a choice. So thanks very much for listening to me share.
Thanks, Shelley J. from Florida. And Tom Ella, we got a minute. Do you want to take the minute?
Sure. Hey, I'm Tom L. from California. And this is a spree drinker. This is a binger. Not everybody uses their drug like this. I happen to. And not everybody in Overeaters Anonymous. Some people graze. Some people nurse a beer all day long. I go to the store and I buy, well, this is back in the 90s. I buy, you know, $50 or $60 worth of groceries because I know I'm going to be spending the next day eating and watching TV. So I've made room for that in my life. In fact, I've gotten out of the rat race. I'm no longer working. I don't want to force myself to go back to work. That's a terrible feeling. So I got on disability and I was able to eat as much as I want and, you know, with as little consequences from the outside world. And I wish I could have continued that way because, you know, I like to eat and dream, but I always go overboard. And the weight kept going up, and I started appearing at in emergency rooms against my will. It's embarrassing to call for the guys to come pick you up, and you're, you know, over 400 pounds. I didn't want to be that way. Anyway, I'm so glad to be with people who understand. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you so much, Tom L. And that brings us to the closing with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Dion R., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, Stephanie, I sure can. This is Dion R., very grateful for a cup of the overeater. Excuse me, sorry about that.
I guess Marion H. wasn't allowed.
I'm sorry, we ran out of time. Right now we're going to have the reading of A Vision for You. Go ahead, Dion.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass to you. Great will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.